This is the Gay Agenda. Become a patron and receive exclusive extras for only $2 each month. Patreon.com/gayagenda.
Independent queer broadcasting
covering all the important international news headlines,
culture, debate, and debauchery.
Find us online,
thegayagenda.co.uk,
and follow us on Twitter at Gay Agenda Radio.
This is the Gay Agenda.
Hello, one, all, and assorted others. We are the Gay Agenda, but we are back with our summer shows. We all know who I am. I'm Ronan Cavell. I am here for the G from the acronym, and we'll go around the table. To my right today, who would we have?
Gemma Ladabaro. I'm not really sure what I am. I'm probably like pan, poly. I'm a bit of everything, really. So yeah.
is there one letter that you're
representing today?
Yeah. Trans, of course. Trans, always representing.
Great big T.
Always representing.
Lovely. And then to my left,
I am Lydia Burns Myrillo, and I am here as the token L. This show is not about lesbian issues, and I will try and keep a lid on my anger. No, I'm here to be another voice from kind of on the sidelines and outside these two communities.
Absolutely. So we've got a few news stories that we're going to bimble through today. A few things to discuss. Middle of the Pride season, of course. So a couple of the news stories will be about some interesting events at Pride recently. But first of all, how are our summers going? You know, it's the middle of Pride season. There's big ones, little ones all over the place. What have we been up to?
It is hot, is what I'm saying.
It's been so good, the weather. It's been perfect for Pride season.
Oh yeah, it's perfect for Pride season. Not so much perfect for Lydia season. I'm not relishing this weather. It's a little bit too warm. But today, the temperature has tempered a little bit, and that's very nice. Last weekend, I drove to Hull for Hull Pride, which was fantastic. It was just brilliant. You know when you are used to going to a Pride that you've been going to for years and years, over a decade now. In fact, more like 15 years I've been going to the same Pride. And I occasionally go to much smaller local Prides, for example, Oldham, Bury.
I went to Oldham Pride last year. That was really good,
But Hull Pride was really on a level with another large festival. It was held in a park. It had a massive main stage with lots of different and varied acts. It had a bar which was just really well organised. And I know that.
Oh, you got to love a well organised bar.
It really was, though, because you know sometimes you go to the bar and you're waiting for ages and ages. The way they did it is they had, like, they must have had 100 people serving. Like, it was a really big bar. And then one queue, and it was like, well, go there, go there, go there, go there. So it was really fast flowing. Every part of Pride was in the park, apart from the parade. So you had the stalls. You had people doing glitter beard, obviously, because
naturally,
it's 2018.
When else is glitter beard appropriate?
Exactly.
Well, all the time, I think.
Yeah, I suppose.
And
you can't see at home, but I'm glittered to fuck today.
You do love glitter. The sort of stalls were situated, like, they were all together with the exposition kind of stands as well. So it was all really kind of organic and free flowing and just lovely. And I thought, oh, this is really nice. Wouldn't it be nice to have a local Pride in a park? That would be great. Hint, hint. Let's do it at Platfields, eh?
Maybe. I think that's a superb idea.
I think it would take it out of just being about everyone getting drunk and partying. That would be nice.
Well, I went to the Salford Pink picnic that was on recently.
Oh,
that
yes.
was lovely. And again, that's just in a park, in a cordoned off area. There's a stage with acts
on. Were you
there
for Jack the Lad's birthday, by any chance?
I was there for Jack
yes.
the Lad's birthday, yeah. Me and Johnny and took little Cheeto with us. He scampered around, made lots of dog pals, weed on lots of things, and tried to eat everyone's snacks.
Snacks.
That sounds pretty much like me, actually.
So, what sort of antics have you got up to for Pride?
Spectacular? Yeah, I attend sort of all the Manchester ones. I'm at Leeds next week. Apart from that, I haven't really hit a lot of the Prides this year. I've been sort of just trying to work a lot.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Gotta get those Benjamins.
It's
about
a dollar.
It is.
Well,
£1.
Yeah,
no, we've got to amass as many as possible because with upcoming political events, they're going to be worth next to nothing.
They're going to be completely
worthless.
Some
sort of hyperinflation system where you're going to need a wheelbarrow of this stuff.
I was thinking that, I must invest in a wheelbarrow before they get really expensive. So I can then wheelbarrow my mountains of money around to buy a loaf of bread.
I just might start converting all of my cash into gold straight away. And then,
that's a good idea.
You know, later on.
Everyone
when
will burgle you.
I've been building up stockpiles of lube.
Is that all the supplies from the LGBT Foundation?
the free so sex pack. It's gonna be like OPEC.
The funny thing is, I used to be the sexual health nurse of my halls of residence at university. So I was the one who gave out free condoms and lube because I didn't need them for myself. So I would have loads of them.
So keep a little stash in your bag
next
day. Here you go, folks. Here you go.
But then
a
people would also come to me and say, I've got this weird itch, and I'd be like, sounds like maybe it might be chlamydia. Maybe go and see the actual doctor.
Yeah. Blimey. Well, on the sort of the topic of pride and so on, Manchester Pride is very soon.
Yeah.
That
is imminent.
It is imminent. Bank Holiday weekend, end of August. Will you be attending? Obviously, it's our biggest local one. What are we thinking? Because for the first year, I don't think I'll be attending. The first year in a long time.
Really?
Yeah. Mainly because I can't afford it. But also
Well, this is always the issue, isn't it? The cost of all the prides.
Yeah, but also mainly because I want to...
Hashtag press pass.
Well, mainly because I want to champion all the local prides.
Yeah.
So I want to do, that's why we went to the Salford Picnic. That's why we'll be going to Levenshulme Pride. That's why we're doing Stockport Pride tomorrow. Doing all the little local ones and going and attending and supporting them. Because Manchester Pride, it is what it is. It's a festival now. It's not really a pride anymore, I don't think.
Yeah.
No.
It's the little local ones, I think, that are really important. Because it's taking what happens in a big pride and just transplanting it and popping it into little areas that might never see those sort of people in this sort of activity.
It's almost like a sort of sampler platter, isn't it, for the new gays and the new trans people and such like. You know, in that they can go to the local pride, cost a bus fare or whatever.
Yeah.
Have a good day out and think, oh, that's it, I'm super gay now. And off they go into the world.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
It is. And then thinking of prides carrying on, we had a very big one down south recently.
Oh, I was just going to say, I will be attending Manchester Pride.
Will you?
Yes, because I'm performing at Superbia.
Ah, fabulous.
I'm doing my stand-up at Superbia, so I will be doing that and hopefully doing a bit of a journo
stuff
walk
well.
Around with a microphone. So
fabulous. But yeah, so Trans Pride Brighton was very recently.
Yes.
Lydia, you've got a little news story there from Pink News about how successful it was.
Yes, it was
so
the biggest ever Trans Pride so far. There was a huge turnout. The crowd's massive for Brighton's Trans Pride Festival last Saturday as transgender people and allies sent a message of inclusivity. It is only the fifth in its history, and it's one of the largest transgender focused Pride celebrations in the UK. And I suppose it's very important to mention that it is very much a trans pride. It's a pride event rather than sort of Sparkle, which is something different. This is very openly and loudly a trans pride event.
Mm-hmm.
So there were organisations from all over. Mermaids had a presence there, diversity role models, the Students' Union, all sorts were there. And an estimated 5,000 people turned out for the march along the beachfront, waving a sea of blue, pink and white transgender flags. Now, I need to ask you a question about these flags, so I hope you've come prepared.
Go on.
I have always used the gradient from
pink to purple. Yeah.
That's always been the flag that I've known.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? There's the two different flags.
Yeah.
There's the one with the white centre and the pink and blue.
Yeah.
Which is, I think that's the UK one, and I think the gradient one is the American one.
Oh,
if
right,
I remember
okay.
right, like, it might be the other way around, I'm not sure, don't quote me on that. But
you've only said it on the radio, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I have both in my front room hung on the walls, and I like the gradient one.
Yeah.
And I think, for me, it always represents, because you have blue at one end and pink at the other, and I think, especially as a trans person, it's sort of, for me, I always put my birth assigned gender at the bottom, and my sort of...
Oh, so you can switch it around.
It's reversible, so if you were male to female... You can put the pink at the top of the blue. But, I mean, with non-binary as well, then you can...
Well, there's gradient.
Yeah.
Scale. So
the colour gradient represents, in certainly in my eyes, I don't know whether that's the intention of the designer, you'd have to sort of Google that, but I would imagine that it represents transition.
Fabulous. Thank you for that.
Little nuggets of information.
Yeah. So participants carried signs calling for equal rights following an intense year of media focus, that's a very polite way of putting it, on the trans community and proposed changes to the UK's Gender Recognition Act. Others called for better access to trans healthcare services and pushed back against transphobia. Now, one of the kind of most vocal marching contingents of this march was hashtag L with the T, which kind of, I know it's moving slightly into our second story, but you can't really talk about trans pride without talking about what happened at London Pride.
The elephant in the room.
Elephant in the room, as always.
I was going to sort of segue onto that in a moment. Just first pause to remind people to tweet us at Gay Agenda Radio.
Oh, yes, of
course. Find us online, thegayagenda.co.uk. Do either of you have Twitter handles or anything you want to shout out?
I am at Frustrated Poet. I picked that name because that was my email address when I was 15.
Ah.
Frustrated Poet. UK_ because I couldn't just have the poet. Now I am a Frustrated Poet all over the place, so that's how you can find me.
My Twitter's at gleatherbarrow1, which I just look for DPRG official.
The Democratic
People's Republic of Germania. we are striving for UN recognition. It's unforthcoming as of yet.
It's a slow journey.
It's time.
It is, but you know, all states begin with a slow journey. I anticipate we'll be as big as America and Russia in no time.
Fantastic. So yeah, so we'll shimmy slowly then into our next topic, which you handily mentioned there for us. So this was the incident during the march at London Pride, which of course...
What a weekend that was.
Yeah. So that news story, sort of, I was just bimbling along on my day and I kept seeing on Facebook someone like little angry faces and people sharing the story, and I didn't really pay attention. I was off doing a lot of other things. But when I sat down and read through, I was like, how the hell were they allowed, one, to get at the front of the parade, and two, to be there for as long as they were and not tackled to the ground?
Yep. Well, the thing is, the reason they weren't tackled to the ground, and I've had a lot of debate in UKPON, which is the UK Pride Organisers Network on Facebook, because as soon as I saw this, I went to that and I was like, what happened? And what they said was, if they'd have tackled them to the ground, that's exactly what they wanted.
Which is true. I mean,
which is true.
I think they're a vocal minority, aren't they? And they're very vocal, but they're also a very small minority. Very small minority, you know. Was it 10 people?
Yeah, something like that. It was a small. It was a very small group of angry turfy lesbians who basically held signs up saying such delightful things as "lesbian, not queer," because they feel that they're being erased. "Lesbian equals female homosexual," and "trans activism erases lesbians," and this. This new slogan that they've come up with, get the L out of LGBT, get the L out. And I was absolutely mortified. And my first reaction was to post lots of messages of support, because...
Well, I think the outpouring of support on Twitter was amazing. I stand with the T, something like that hashtag was. And it was lovely to see. Lovely.
Well, I want to go back slightly again to the idea of them being tackled.
My
viewpoint on this is that it's double standards, because we had trans activists
in Glasgow
tackled to the ground by the police, arrested, treated quite badly, and then we have these TERFs just allowed to carry on and asked politely and just sort of dealt with it in an entirely different way. Why the double standard? Why the difference? It's a tough one. There's no real answer.
I don't think that you can... It's not like for like, because it's two different countries. It's two different prides. If the same thing had happened last year with trans activists at the London Pride parade, I think it will be different. However, what I would
do you think London Pride would have held would handled trans activists doing that in the same way as they handled these activists?
I don't know, but what I will say is that if certain members of the community had approached, you know, had got through the barriers with backpacks, they would have been treated very differently. It's, you know, the colour swatch, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you were alluding to the fact that some people of a darker complexion might be mistaken for, I don't know, terrorists,
yes,
perhaps.
Yes, exactly.
There
and
is,
actually...
There is a clearly sort of marked scale that I think that there is charts that exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yep, just brown enough.
just brown enough, backpack, tackle them to the ground.
Yeah.
Call the bomb squad.
Beard. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the fact is, these women did have backpacks. And so that is, for me, that is the comparison to make, because for me these women are fundamentalists.
Yeah,
you know, they are radical.
Yeah, they're, I mean, it's like the Westboro Baptist Church. It's like any other extremist group. They exist at the extreme end of politics.
Yes. And so if they, the fact that they could even get into the parade is the first thing. Where was security?
Mm.
And then, because if that had been other people, there's no way they would have even got past the barriers.
No.
And then for them to not, they took a long time to address it properly as well. The incident had been happening for about 40 minutes before there was anything on Facebook, and that first response on Facebook was pretty poor. Now, a couple of days later, they did release a full statement. But I was just really disappointed that it was allowed to happen.
I mean, Gemma, as someone under the T umbrella, when you see stuff like this from within the community, how does it make you feel?
I find it really upsetting. I mean, the thing that upsets me the most about it is you look at some of the things that got... You think about radical feminism, and you think about feminism sort of historically being about breaking down gender roles.
Mm.
Surely, therefore,
the
trans and non-binary and sort of gender non-conforming or varying communities should be very much aligned with feminist sort of politics
and
policies.
And that's
the shocking thing. And then you think, on top of that, the number of sort of injustices against women in the world, if we all jumped on the back of those issues instead, maybe we'd be able to create a better place for everybody.
The fact is, we've been campaigning for over 100 years to stop being defined by what is between our legs. And so
these women
have put us back about 150 years.
Because that's what they're doing.
And that's exactly what they're doing. Oh no, basically they're trying to say that being a lesbian means that you specifically like vaginas on women, natural vaginas,
which is fair, and that's, nobody's disputing that. This is the worst thing. They hang on this idea of you're forcing lesbians to have sex with women with penises, and it's like, well, there's this thing called consent, which is clearly defined.
It's very sexy.
If you get
consent
into bed with someone and you don't like something, at whatever point you desire, you can say, and I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
And that person will respect, or should respect that. If they don't, then again, there's laws that are clearly defined that say, this is wrong.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, which I posted repeatedly. If someone is trying to force you to have sex with somebody, then that's an issue and you need to deal with that.
Mm.
But don't tar all trans people with that brush, because they're far more likely to get raped than, you know, but they're far more likely to get raped than to rape. That's, you know.
Yeah. And that goes for the majority of the population, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, it kind of does. a lot of different organisations came out in support. So Diva magazine,
in support of the trans community.
Yeah.
Make that very, very clear for everyone.
Yes, in support of the trans community, because trans women are women, and this is the thing about these TERFs, is not only are they vehemently against
trans...
We should
probably point out for people who are listening who might be...
Oh yes, what a TERF is.
Yeah, might be a first-time listener, perhaps. TERF.
TERF.
T-E-R-F.
trans-exclusionary radical feminists. I actually resist using the full term because they're not feminists.
Yeah.
Because if it ain't trans-inclusive, intersectional, and, you know, multicultural, then it ain't feminism. Yeah?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's some horrendous, dry, vile creature crawling up your wall.
Basically.
Theresa May.
Yes.
There she is, scuffling up the sideboard. Hissing at us.
Brexit.
Well, what was that
Brexit.
One from?
Brexit.
Like the Gollum.
She's Gollum in a person's suit, isn't she?
Yeah.
Anyway, carry on.
But yeah, so the other thing that happens is that the idea is that trans women aren't women. That's their first, you know, big stamp. And the other thing is that non-binary, AFAB non-binary and trans men don't exist. They have just been forced into transitioning. And I can't really work out who's doing the forcing. Like, and
I know.
Is it to erase
this powerful
women?
Trans lobby that apparently is everywhere?
It's the trans mafia.
It is the trans mafia. Yeah. You wake up with a. Oh, you see, the gay mafia. You'll wake up with a unicorn head in your bed. But I'm not sure what it is for the trans mafia.
We're not sure either. We're still having meetings about it. We'll let you know in time on Twitter, probably.
I would. So this is my personal opinion as an individual lesbian. I think that there is huge erasure of the lesbian community, in particular butch women, in society generally. But that erasure is not being perpetrated by trans people. It's being perpetrated by the patriarchy, who say, "Hey, woman, you cannot look like that. That's not what women look like." Yeah. You cannot behave like that. You cannot be a dyke on a bike. I went to Elfest the other weekend and they had the large contingents of dykes on bikes. It was
fabulous.
Very interesting. You know, you cannot dress like that. You cannot wear your hair like that. You must conform to binary gender stereotypes, which is, as we all agree, absolute bull twaddle. Now that we're a radio station, we are trying to be a little bit less sweary on the air.
But you know, I opened with the F word, so
true.
You did it in a professional way.
It was a professional way.
Yeah.
So I vehemently disagree with the actions that have been taken. I disagree with their ideologies. I can see how they've managed. I can't understand why they've conflated it with trans issues when actually all the focus should be on the patriarchy. I don't feel sorry for them. I think that they are bitter, and they are making it worse for everyone, because again, like I said, they are defining womanhood as what's between your legs, and it completely erases intersex people as well. And
yeah. They're doing themselves a disservice. That's
massive disservice.
So let's shimmy on now to our next news story for the tea headlines of recent weeks and days. So what else have we got going on around the world?
Pakistan's general elections.
Okie dokie. So what's going on with Pakistan's general election?
They have 5 transgender candidates. 5.
Fantastic.
It's fantastic.
It is fantastic.
It is amazing.
There is a powerful trans lobby right there.
Yeah, yes.
In Pakistan.
Yes. 5 transgender women are running in Pakistan's general election this week, which is the highest ever number of trans nominees in the country. In fact, it was 3 days ago that the vote took place.
It was a very auspicious day, actually. It was my birthday.
Oh.
Again, a new star was born, I'm sure.
I'm just going to do a little quick search to see what the outcome of that was.
Yeah.
So talk amongst yourselves.
That's fine. We'll pause just to remind everyone, tweet us at Gay Agenda Radio. Find us online, thegayagenda.co.uk. We are in the process of launching Gay Agenda Media as an online radio station. So for the time being, have a little tune in to do some of the best bits of the Gay Agenda and our TV show, That's Pride, until we get everything up and running and sorted for the official launch. The announcement of what will be going on will be Bank Holiday Weekend in August, and the actual station launch proper end of September. So exciting times for everyone.
Some really fun shows coming up.
Absolutely. Lots of talented people involved. And as well, if you are listening and you think, oh, I could create some content, I could do a radio show, or I'm a DJ, I could do a thing, then get in touch. On the website, thegayagenda.co.uk, it's a little contact page, drop us a message. We are looking for creatives, queer creatives from around the world to take part and share the message.
What the Gay Agenda radio station hopes to be is the curator of amazing queer content, and
yeah.
You can be part of it.
Absolutely.
I can't find the latest, even though it took place a few days
ago.
It doesn't seem to have updated. Maybe that means that no one was elected, but I can't actually tell. My apologies.
They're in some quite small provinces, some of them, so the information maybe starts slower coming out, as far as I'm aware.
But as soon as we know, we will be posting it on our Facebook page, so keep an
eye
out for that. So at the start of the election campaign, there was actually 13 candidates filing nomination papers, but 9 were forced to drop out due to lack of funds, which is often
the case.
The case, you know, the people who we need in power can't afford to make that step. My dad's always,
and the people who are born with money or inherit money, they are the ones, as we see in this country so very often, who get in there. Career politicians don't really know much about the actual country they're governing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brexit happens. Sorry, anyway, carry on.
Do you know what? We should have brought some gin or vodka or maybe some other kinds of shots. And every time we mention Brexit, we have to drink.
Brexit or Trump. The show would fall apart.
It would fall apart.
Yeah.
We have
biscuits and cookies, so we'll have a shot of biscuit instead of a shot of gin. Are you going for a little jammy dodger?
Jammy cream.
Delicious.
A 26-year-old trans woman. Let me just find out her name. I scrolled too quickly.
You swift scroller, you.
I am. Nayab Ali is a survivor of an acid attack from a former boyfriend, and her life as a transgender woman has been full of hardship.
She was. There was an article on Transaction Pakistan, I think it is, on Facebook, talking about her and her acid attack.
It's dreadful, and the worst thing about it is that before colonialism, trans people were just a thing and no one cared, and then British people came along and went, oh no, this will never do, and now all these pockets across the world
it's just generally anything aside from the boring binary, which the Victorians decided, no, we just want you to be like us and do the stiff upper lip thing and nothing else is allowed.
I mean, I think you could get in prison for flashing an ankle back in those days.
You would have been an ankle flasher and then some.
I'm flashing my ankles right now. So.
Oh my.
I'm flashing my ankle all the way up to the knee.
Very risque.
I know, right?
She said, we are not just the voice of the transgender community, we are also the voice of women and minorities. So I guess her language there is, it still makes, I was like, ooh, is she separating trans and women? But no, she's just talking about her experience. So she represents the trans community, she also represents the women and minorities. She said, if you want real change, vote transgender. That is such a great
tagline,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Back in May, you might remember that Pakistan passed new legislation guaranteeing basic rights for an estimated 500,000 transgender citizens, including intersex people. It's actually intersex people, transvestites, eunuchs, and banning discrimination against them.
Does it not cover the same sort of terminology as in India with the Hijra, the third gender? Because although they're sort of very opposed politically, the languages sort of come from the same roots, don't they?
Yeah.
I can't find that information, but what I do know is that it does seem that at the moment it's safer to be trans in Pakistan and India than it is to be trans in America. Because just this morning, or just this week, there's been more rollbacks on trans.
Because that's the way to rebuild an economy. That's the way to rebuild, make America great again by wiping everything out. I'm not really sure what they do, but.
Does anyone else miss Obama, like, so badly?
Yeah, everybody.
I think just, you know,
he's still with us. He is still with
he
us.
Is
you know,
still with us.
He's just doing his own Obama-y sort of thing. But I think, you know, it's you know, the whole sort of U.S. situation. I mean, Trump is just the face of what's going on. You know, he is the pinhead of hatred that we can aim at.
But the thing is, though, people talk about getting him out and actively trying to get him impeached and stop him being president. But the thing is, what we need to remember is, if he gets deposed and Mike mm-hmm. Pence is put in his place, that's like literally getting rid of Hitler and putting Super Hitler in place.
Well,
yeah.
I thought
this. This is the whole thing, you know.
Last night
Aim
I had
Trump,
a really...
He's a distraction. They can all get on with the Haiti stuff in the background with the legislation behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Last night I had a very interesting conversation over buckets of sangria.
Like actual buckets.
Yeah, literally buckets.
Fabulous.
And that was to say that if Pence was elected, was brought in because Trump, excuse me, I shouldn't have eaten a biscuit without having a cup of tea on the go.
Bad form, that, bad form.
It was a schoolgirl error. if they brought in Pence, Pence isn't a cult. Trump
yeah.
is a cult. So at the end of 2 years, they couldn't, Pence would not have that following.
Yeah,
same
yeah.
as Trump does.
And wouldn't have the potential for re-election.
Wouldn't have the potential for re-election. And also doesn't have the, and I say this with like a massive caveat, doesn't have the charisma of Donald Trump. Because he's not charismatic to me, but he has charisma. Otherwise he would not have been able to be the dictator that he is.
Yeah.
But
that's a capital D in dictator.
And there's a gap between the K and the T.
Yes. Also, it has a K in it.
Yes, because that's how we're spelling it today. So what we'll do is pause very briefly to brew up again. A few months ago, I recorded an interview with Loz Kay about the redevelopment around Manchester's Gay Village.
Ooh, another wine, the hot button subject.
Yeah, that will be coming in our G show. But bear in mind that, you know, you've got to listen to that to get that little nugget. We'll pause for our little coffee break. And tweet us at Gay Agenda Radio, find us online.
And we will be back with more of the tea in just a moment.
You are listening to the Gay Agenda.
We are thoroughly refreshed. We have Fizzy Brown to be going on with, and we still have a few biscuits left. Haven't all been consumed.
Not for long.
Mm-hmm. I am still Roland Cavell, and with me still is...
Gemma Leatherbarrow.
I let you burn to my Rollo.
Yeah, so I didn't realise you were taking a sip of drink as I gestured to you then.
Just refreshing myself.
Wetting the whistle. And now we've talked about some of the prides that have been going on, some of the issues that have popped up during the prides.
Mm-hmm.
We've also looked at a story from Pakistan. Now, Lydia, I think you've got the next headline.
I do.
Is this going to be a Hollywood headline?
It is the Hollywood headline.
The Hollywood headline. So give it to us.
So Rub and Tug may be scrapped after Scarlett Johansson steps down from lead role. Now, this is just outrageous that they would consider not making the film rather than give the lead role to a transmasculine actor. There are plenty of good actors, and it's an important film that needs to be made. So,
yeah.
Rub and Tug is a film about a trans man named Dante Tex Gill, but it may be shut down because Scarlett Johansson has stepped down. Now, you would think that with all of the publicity, it's just from a business sense, it's worth making the film. Because
yeah.
everybody will want to go and see it and see what, you know, what this whole thing is about, because it's had such media pull for the past few weeks. Once again, a cisgender woman is playing a cisgender person is playing a trans character, but she was supposed to be playing the character, and she decided to back out of the film. Now, many people on social media were happy with this, me included. It was the right thing to do. Did you see the memes?
Yeah.
Oh my word! The memes about Scarlett Johansson.
The Infinity Gauntlet.
The Infinity Gauntlet.
She got the. the Russian role with Avengers, and then she was going to go for the trans role with this, and then she wanted an Asian role, and she wanted something else.
Well, no, the funniest one, because it was around...
Didn't she get the Asian role? I think she did.
She did.
Ghost in the Shell, didn't
she?
Of course, she did.
And the funniest one for me, it was very close to the bone, was about the Thai boys who were rescued from the cave, and the images, it said, oh, this should be...
She could have played
Elon
Musk.
Film. This should be a film. Scarlett Johansson can play all of the Thai boys. So Johansson's production company, These Pictures, was producing the project. After giving up the lead role, it's unclear whether Ruben Tug will make it to production at all. So that's even worse. I didn't know that it was her own production company. So it almost sounds like she's gone, well, if I'm not doing it, no one else is going to do it.
It
struck me as being kind of schoolyard, almost if I can't play football, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home.
You're not allowed to play with this game. This opens up a conversation that's been had for years and years and years about casting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a conversation that I've had many, many times with gay male friends of mine about the casting of or the stereotyping. So a gay male actor will, in years gone by, often only get cast as a gay character.
Yeah.
Unless they could keep it sort of under wraps, and then they can get
all roles. Notable exception has to be Barney Stinson in How I Met Your Mother.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I didn't really know a lot about Neil Patrick Harris when I first started watching that programme.
I didn't know he was gay.
And I had no idea he was gay. And I was like, what a horrible, disgusting... he's gay?
Yeah.
Never would have known.
This changes everything.
Yeah. Half of my friends are very much along the line of, if it's a gay role, it should go to a gay person. You know, they understand the character more. Other half of my friends say...
It's called acting. Is that what they say?
Basically, they don't mind if it's a straight guy or a gay guy, just as long as they do a decent job of playing the part.
Hmm.
I'm somewhere in the middle. I would prefer if the gay actors out there got the opportunities, but at the same time, if there's someone out there if 20 people audition, 19 are gay and one straight, but all the other 19 are a bit rubbish.
But
fair enough, give it to the straight person. It's one of those.
This is a fallacy which exists throughout. that exists throughout entertainment, but also in recruitment. So it's this suggestion that, we couldn't find a trans person to play this role. There wasn't a trans person who was good enough to play this role. And there wasn't a brown person that applied for this job.
Do you think they just weren't looking hard enough?
They just weren't fucking looking hard enough.
I think the waters are muddied a bit that as well, because of the fact that it's Scarlett Johansson's production company that are producing the film.
And also because she's got previous.
Yeah.
Because she just keeps doing this over and over again. And it seems very, very self-serving. Like she wasn't making this film. They weren't making this film to offer representation. They were doing it literally just to make money. And that's the difference between good indie films and blockbuster presentations.
In 20 years' time, I anticipate there will be like train spotters have them books with the numbers for the trains in and they tick them off.
Yeah.
There'll be a book like that for Scarlett Johansson and then all the different minorities that she's played in them.
Maybe she should change her name to Rachel.
So, Joe, what's your take on this sort of story then? And as well, the trans actors and representation. What I'd quite like to see is trans actors being able to play cis and trans characters and being able to play everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I sit on the fence a little bit, because on the one hand...
Cheeky.
Well, but on the one
you'll
hand...
You'll get splinters!
You certainly do, yeah. It's lovely. But no, I mean, so on the one hand, you've got a major A-list actress playing a role that's sort of topically and sort of... It's a hot-button topic.
Mm. Yeah.
Why not put it out there? You know, and an A-list actor will guarantee big sort of viewing figures.
Mm-hmm.
But at the other end of the scale, you've got, just a quick Google search will give you a list of at least 10 or 12 really accomplished trans male actors who could surely have played, you know, an actor can play the part of a person in a film, but to get across the things that you know, I couldn't act the role of a person who's not trans because I am trans. It's inherent to the role, isn't it? So surely it makes that sense.
And people kept saying it should be Chaz Bono.
Yeah, Chaz Bono.
Well,
Chaz Bono
was the main
totally
sort of
looks a lot like Tex. I mean, people jumped on Chaz Bono, and I admit I sort of jumped on Chaz Bono because Chaz is like a high profile, would get the viewing figures. Yeah. But actually, what I would like to see for this film is that it is turned into a small indie production, and trans people who are just happen to be actors get the opportunity to audition. Now, if you look back 20 years, this just immediately makes me think of Boys Don't Cry. 20 years ago, Hilary Swank won the Oscar for Boys. I think she won the Oscar. Oh, I need to check that.
Oh, let me get
awkward.
Better we carry on? Yeah.
Yeah. Hilary Swank played Brandon Tina, and there was no sort of uproar about it because there were very few. I mean, there were hardly any trans women portrayed on television then. There were literally zero trans men. And her performance in that role was excellent. I think that if they were making that film now, they would need to hire a trans actor. They couldn't make that film without using a trans actor.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of trans actors, has anybody yet seen Pose?
No.
No, I keep meaning to, but it's on my list. But at the moment, all my time is dedicated to other things, like setting up the radio station, you know, and doing my tattoo apprenticeship, and all these other things. Life takes over.
Yeah.
Pose is basically a fictional retelling of the New York scene in the late 80s and early 90s, as depicted in Paris is Burning. And it is one of the she won the Oscar for Best Actress. I knew I wasn't going mad. It is one of the best and most authentic and honest interpretations of anything that I've ever seen, because it's all of the trans people in the show are played by trans actors. It's very honest and brutal at times, and it feels very real. And it's had, you know, great acclaim. And for me, it's also got James Van Der Beek in it, and I was a huge Dawson's Creek fan back in the day. So
Dawson's Creek was amazing.
So basically, what I'm saying is that this as a microcosm of queer produced film demonstrates that you can use unknown trans people and trans actors to make beautiful art that sells.
Yeah.
So all they have to
do is the proof's in the pudding,
right
there.
The proof
is
in the pudding. Yeah. It's so good as well. If you get the opportunity, watch it. In fact, I'm going to do a little plug. Tribeca is hosting viewing parties.
Of course, it's the Make a Scene group, isn't it?
Yeah.
Make a Scene. Yeah. Find them on Twitter and Facebook. Yeah. They do lovely events.
It's just brilliant if you get the chance to watch it, because I remember I watched the first episode and I hadn't heard a lot about it. And you know when you're watching something and you're like, is this problematic? Let me just check, like, Google. Then I was like, oh no, they're literally, all of them are actually trans.
It's quite, quite refreshing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's nice.
I can watch this and relax now.
Yeah, it's one of those moments where you watch something and you have to take a moment and you're like, I don't know how sensitive this is being or unsensitive. And I think sometimes our own worry can stop us enjoying something.
Oh yeah, especially now.
It's almost like you're checking yourself, aren't you?
Yeah, I wish that
I was allowed to enjoy this. Am I not allowed to enjoy this?
I wish that I wasn't woke, because being woke is exhausting.
Hashtag go to sleep.
Yeah. Yes. Hashtag go to sleep. I am using that, definitely.
I need to get on watch Pose, because it's been raved about. Everyone's loving it.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I've missed a lot of social culture at the moment.
Well, is that because you've got a new partner and all you're doing is gazing lovingly into each other's eyes?
Or is it because you're
perhaps?
Or is it because you're banned from Facebook?
It's from
probably
Facebook.
A combination
again.
Of both. Yeah.
marvelous stuff. Okay, so let's shimmy on to another headline. I think
yes.
What I have here. So what
so
do we have?
The last tea headline we have is Starbucks is going to offer comprehensive healthcare for trans employees, which is it's quite delightful. I think it's wonderful what they're doing. It's not just cosmetic.
It was either that or stop dental care to white men.
Or maybe stop kicking black people out of stores for just sitting there.
That would have
worked
might
have
as well.
Worked
that
also.
Would work.
Starbucks is taking a stand and standing. This is from Tate Burmester, a Starbucks employee for 15 years and a manager in Austin. Starbucks is taking a stand and standing up for trans people and saying that our procedures aren't just cosmetic, they are life-saving. They're affirming. They're vitally important to trans people. And it's not something just to be seen as a cosmetic procedure that's optional, because for a lot of people, it's not optional for them. It's wonderful. All I can imagine is the number of trans people who are going to go and actively seek jobs at Starbucks now, like,
well, you know,
I could learn to make coffee. Here's my CV.
Well, I mean, you know, everybody loves coffee and everybody loves gender reassignment. So, you know, why not, smush the two together?
What's not to love? And, you know, when you are a company, but, you know, and it's in the US, this story's coming from.
Yes, it is.
So, a country where you have to pay through the teeth.
Do they pay tax in America? Because I know they don't in Britain. And this is my issue. Allegedly. My issue is kind of like, on the one hand, I'm like, they don't pay the tax properly. Oh, but they're providing such a good thing to trans people. So they're sort of cuddly, but they've got teeth at the same time.
Yeah. You know, in the US, where there's like health insurance is astronomically priced for a lot of people,
yeah.
and so many trans people just can't afford it.
Uh-huh.
This must be a godsend.
I've got so many friends who live in America and are trans, and there's so much more worries that they have just in accessing like hormone treatment or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, compared to we have it quite lucky here, and I'm going to temper that with obvious sort of caveats, but
yeah.
You know, we're quite fortunate in this country compared to some advanced countries.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And the funny thing is, so Starbucks, this is not the first time that Starbucks has courted controversy with the Christian population of America, because as we know, every Christmas they never get their cups right.
Of course.
So this is just
yes.
another thing. It's another FU to the Christian population of the United States.
Enough to worry about.
Yeah. These particular Christians we're talking about have a small C,
air
quotes.
Yeah, little C Christians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're
not
actual Christians. They're just the ones that like to pay lip service to it, but are actually just bigots hiding behind the Bible.
Yeah.
Mm. But anyway, so what were they saying last Christmas? Or was it that there wasn't enough Christmas theme on the cup? It was too red or something.
It's just not Christian enough.
Not Christian enough. It's a
yeah.
coffee cup.
It is a coffee cup.
You don't need to be sipping from Jesus every time you have a macchiato.
That's another.
They should do this year. They should do like a cup that folds out into a nativity play. That would appease them, surely.
I think it would. Except Jesus doesn't get assigned a gender at birth.
Just the letter J.
A Starbucks report said that some trans people who have faced rejection from doctors will delay seeking treatment, sometimes with deadly consequences. And transgender people experience suicide ideation at a much higher rate than the rest of the overall population, which is something that we're very well aware of here at the Gay Agenda. Alyssa Brock, who is the Starbucks Benefits Director, said, "We heard from a lot from our transgender partners that this is important to them, and so it should be important to us too. It's true to our mission and values of nurturing the human spirit." Now, I will say that this is a wonderful initiative. I think it's brilliant. But you know what else would be really good?
What's that?
If they would pay their staff more, like a living wage, that might be...
possibly an excellent start.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because people who have a living wage can afford to save up for things like treatments for
healthcare
in the US.
Yeah.
So it's wonderful, but it does seem like a shiny, you know, a shiny
a
disco ball to deflect from their, you know, their wage policies and their tax policies. So it's lovely, and I don't want to take away from that, but let's look at the other issues as well.
Yeah, this sort of will bring us full circle around talking about prides again, because this for the last sort of like 10 minutes or so, because this is obviously there are, you know, issues with Starbucks, you know, we've touched on a few of those,
mm-hmm.
but the fact that there's a company here who are putting in place a policy across the company to help part of the queer community as standard,
it's lovely.
Is what we should be seeing from a lot of these companies who jump on the bandwagon this time of year and throw rainbows on everything.
Yes, I've always thought that what they should be doing is just doing it, and so just like donate to an LGBT cause and don't say anything.
Yeah.
And if you know, and because that shows that you are doing it because you believe in it and you think it's right, rather than oh look at us, we're, you know, we support the LGBT community. If you want to support the LGBT community, do it.
You know, be active, do something,
yeah.
donate to a charity, you know, have policies in place where you are actually benefiting the queer people within the business.
Rather than just, you know, creating rainbow themed clothing and not
to push sales.
One of my teachers at school always said, when you do something correct, nobody even notices you've done it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, especially now and going forward, gay culture, gay life, LGBT society and community is not just a rainbow. You know, it's people.
It's just a grey scale, let's be honest. It's just a grey scale.
It is a grey scale.
Like
50 Shades.
There's probably more than that, but like everything in nature exists on a sliding scale.
Yeah.
Everything.
And so to try and capitalise on, it used to be the pink pound, but it's now, it really is the rainbow pound. It's people.
Well, beautiful,
you know,
as well.
It
isn't as an alliterative, you know,
no, it's
pink
not.
Pound,
rainbow
pound.
Mm. And the difficulty is that it's so easy to buy into it. Like when I saw this amazing dress from Primark, I was like, oh, I want it so bad. But then I was like, but it's not going to benefit anybody. Like, if I'm going to buy something with a rainbow on it, I want to know that the profits from that item are going back into my community. Mm. And actually, it's a similar thing. Everybody within this community should be supporting this community and buying queer where they can. Yeah,
I've been buying a lot of clothes off trans clothing designers on Instagram at the moment.
Nice.
And it's really nice because you know that you're supporting someone who's just building their own little empire from the ground up.
Yeah. And if you want to help us build our empire from the ground up,
we have
a little GoFundMe at the moment because we're trying, as we mentioned, to get a radio station set up.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been doing it out of our own pockets for the last almost 5 years now.
Yeah.
And we want to get ourselves to a point where we can have some funding in so we don't have to worry about our own finances for at least 12 months.
Yes.
That's the ideal.
And so that if something does happen and we're not able to pay for, say, hosting, the radio station can continue. It won't just go away.
Absolutely.
It's a very precious precious thing, this. And it's, you know, it's had its ups and downs over the years, but we've always tried to keep it going forward. And this, you know, if we can get the radio station off the ground, it would be huge, because there isn't a radio station that has queer in that is really super queer, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there are, you know, little people doing different things all over the place. Well, you want to be a location, a one-stop shop where you can get all of your queer content from all over the place.
Yes,
coming through, and not just the LGBT, but all the shades of grey and colour in between. But yeah, at Gay Agenda Radio, look at the pinned tweet.
Yes,
at the top of the page there, and that's the link. To you know, even if you can only donate like 50 cents or a fiver, every little helps. Yeah,
we should really get Tesco to sponsor us, really, if we're going to be using their slogan.
Well, I thought, you know, we're recording the two summer shows, G&T. We should have got sponsors from a gin company.
some sponsorship.
That would have been fantastic.
We could have all been drunk now.
We could have had some. We could have commissioned a special rainbow gin. So pink gin's obviously the in thing at the moment.
Absolutely, yeah.
It is. I love pink gin. Mm. I just love gin.
I'm
funny
not,
because
I'm not particularly a fan of gin, but if someone wants to offer me some free gin now, yeah, hit me up on Twitter.
It's funny because gin used to be this, you know, like Mother's Ruin, like sit on the stairs crying into your gin.
They
Whereas now,
feminists.
Pardon?
They all became turfs.
Yeah, they did. But now it's like gin is like this. It's so hip. Do you remember a few years ago when there were like three gins that you could have? Beefeater, you could have Bombay Sapphire, or you could have Gordon's, and that was it.
It was because of some kind of legal thing. I can't remember the exact thing. There were some laws in place where you had to produce gin in a certain way or from a certain location, and that was it. But they relaxed all the laws, and now everyone's able to do it.
Was that a European law?
Well,
I'm not sure. This is interesting.
I was talking about this with someone the other day, because you have protected designations under EUR.
Yeah.
And this is something... This is one of the sort of hot button topics within sort of those things that shall remain unnamed.
We already have, no offence to other British people. I love, you know, I'm British, but I am also European. And British food is kind of crap. Like, and it's notoriously crap over the years, over the decades. The food that comes out of the UK, and I'm not talking about wonderful restaurants, I mean things that we produce. We've got lovely Cornish cheese. We've got clotted cream and scones, but you know, we don't have Serrano ham, and we don't have Parmesan.
Exactly.
And we don't have, you know,
pesto.
Pesto changeo.
This is something that I'm genuinely worried about, that my pesto supply will be cut off.
Are you currently stockpiling pesto?
I am. Yeah, I've got a truck outside my house, but 4,000 gallons of the stuff at the moment.
It is
swimming.
It is really scary. I've seen this meme, and it shows basically foods that will be available after that that shall not be named. And it's all very jokey, but it's basically Marmite, beans, and tea. That's it.
Yeah, tea might not even, you know, where are tea leaves from?
Outside the EU, dear.
How much is going to come through
Europe? I mean, to be fair,
all the traffic will be coming through Europe. So, you know, if you can't get through properly...
The thing is, no matter where it is in the world, we're not going to get it. So, what, 30 years ago, there was a trade embargo in South Africa, because of apartheid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that happened, and it's something that could happen.
Yeah.
If other countries get pissed off enough with us, they could just... put trade, you know, tariffs up so high, we will literally become I don't like to use the word third world country because it doesn't mean anything, but you know, we will become a developing country.
Mm.
And the stupid thing is that
I read something similar the other day actually. America recently lost its status as a full democracy.
Developed nation.
Really?
Yeah. Because of the policies that Trump's been putting in, and this is a genuine concern because it affects a country's credit rating.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, obviously,
they'd already lost AAA. Because
obviously, this stuff's all invented by banks ultimately. But you know, you think about sort of like the financial implications and the sort of just the way it can affect the people on the ground. The, you know, people like us that
mm-hmm.
struggle to pay for a bag of tea.
People really think. That we are going to get the empire back.
I think they envision like wooden galleons at Portsmouth Harbour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Queen Elizabeth I rising from the grave.
Yeah.
Suddenly.
I'm not sure, to be honest, what they imagine, but they have some kind of, this Victorian idea of Britain being fantastic and, you know, Victoria on the throne, this sort of imperialist idea without the empire.
Well, no, because they really think that we're going to... Because they're talking about relying on the Commonwealth. And the Commonwealth's like, new phone, who dis, you know.
Yeah.
Because no, the Commonwealth are like, no, you literally took everything and gave us nothing. So no, F off.
No one's going to help us out.
And rightly so.
Yeah.
You know, the one part of the empire, of the Commonwealth, that still has so much love for us, and we tried to deport people back to them the Windrush generation. Like,
yeah, I mean, how much worse could you treat people?
You know, they don't. We are going to be this Little Britain, and when I say Little Britain, I literally mean like the TV show. We are just this odd compilation of weird and sad and small pockets. We are not a nation united, and that's exactly what they want. They want to divide and conquer, and it's working.
Thinking of the nation divided or the nation united. Interesting fact I learned about Pub on Canal Street, New Union.
Oh, yes.
What's it named after? It's named after the Union of the United Kingdom.
Really?
Yeah. It's been there for a long, long time, that pub.
Yeah, it's quite an old building.
Yeah. And it was named after the Union of Wales, Scotland, England. I'm not sure about Northern Ireland, but yeah, it's named because of that.
It was probably still fabulous back then as well.
With them sticky carpets and drag queen karaoke back in whenever that was. Oh, but it's time to finish up the show now anyway. We've been rattling on for almost an hour. So now it's time to pause and let our dear listeners go off for a little brew and do whatever else they're going to do with their day.
Fantastic.
Of course, if this is the first time you've listened, thank you. Click subscribe and you'll get our new shows as soon as they pop up and exist. As soon as we give birth to them. And again, I have been Ryland Cavell. I was the G here.
I've been Gemma Leatherbarrow, I was the T.
And I'm Lydia Burns Myrullo, and I was the little L on the outside.
The L in the corner.
Trying to get in.
thank you, tweet us at Gay Agenda Radio, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
The Gay Agenda is brought to you with thanks to Manchester Pride. The Big Weekend is Manchester's world-famous annual LGBTQI celebration from the 20th to the 28th August. Find them online, manchesterpride.com.